You know, I'm so glad for the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. It breaks every chain. It causes us to be set free. And you just know that God is moving on your behalf and that He is doing great things. But let's get right into this. This is part four of our series, He Was, I Am. Say that. He was.
He was.
I am.
I am.
Say it again. He was.
He was.
I am. And so we're getting into this, and for those of you who might be visiting with us, we've been every week taking a section from Isaiah chapter 53, and we've been breaking it down and looking at it and learning at what Jesus did for us. The scripture says that He became certain things, He did certain things, He took upon Himself certain things so that you and I could be free, we could be saved, we could be glorious. You'll have to go back and listen a couple of weeks ago. We can be guilt and shame free. And so today we're going to look at a truth, and you know, I would be remiss if we looked at Isaiah 53 and went over this and did not talk about this. So let's look at Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 5. The scripture says this: who has believed our report? Is there anybody in here that's believing the report of the Lord? All right. Anybody else? Is there anybody else that's ready to believe the report of the Lord? Okay. So we answer Isaiah's question. We say us. And so to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Us. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. And so Isaiah's prophesying, he's talking about Jesus, and he's telling us that there's going to be nothing external about Jesus that causes people to be drawn to him. You know, not that Jesus, it's not saying that Jesus was ugly and pathetic, what it's saying is that there was nothing about him personality-wise that drew people to him. It was the love and the power of God that drew people to him. And so it says in verse 3, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Will you say that last phrase with me? And by his stripes we are healed. Say it one more time. And by his stripes we are healed. And so Isaiah's looking at it from a past standpoint towards the cross. And so what I want you to do is let's jump to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. And Peter quotes Isaiah, but he says it looking on this side of the cross, looking back at what Jesus did. And he says this: who himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And then he says, by whose stripes you... Okay, by whose stripes you... It's not a trick question, just read. By whose stripes you
were.
Isaiah said you are. 1 Peter says you
were.
So, I did okay in school. I wasn't an English major. Some of you guys are much more educated than I am. And, so help me. Is were present tense, future tense, or past tense? Okay, some of you are like me. You're not sure. Okay. It is past tense. So what Isaiah said is something that is going to take place, that you are healed. He was prophesying, but Peter looks at it and he says, you were healed. So what I want you to see is that healing is something that has already been accomplished. That on the cross 2,000 years ago, the scripture says that Jesus was bruised for us, that he bore our sicknesses, he carried our diseases, and with his stripes you were healed. And so what I want you to begin to see as we go through this message is that you're not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed. For those of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, you are the healed, and the enemy wants you sick. Okay. Maybe let me talk to these folks over here because they seem to be responding a little better. See, you're not the weak, the meager, the broken trying to get healed. You need to see yourself. I am a child of the Most High God. I am the righteousness of God. I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. In God's mind and His eyes, I am clean and holy, and I am not trying to get my healing. I am already healed because it is already an established fact. Let me ask you a question, a little theological question. If you're trying to get saved, is that right or wrong? It's wrong because Jesus has already saved you. Even if you've never received it, Jesus has already saved you. You still have to receive it. But He has already saved you. The price is already paid. See, just when somebody receives Christ and they, you know, accept Him and pray the sinner's prayer, Jesus doesn't come down from heaven, walk on the earth again, go to Jerusalem, let them put Him on a cross. He gets crucified all over again. He dies, gets buried, and then raises on the third day. He doesn't do that every time. He did it once and for all, the scripture says. And so for us to be saved, all we have to do is simply receive the free gift that God has already paid for us. Well, your physical healing in your body is exactly the same as your salvation. Matter of fact, Isaiah told us, and we'll see a little bit more in a minute, that it was all paid for at the same time. And so you receive your healing just like you receive salvation. So if you're sitting in here and you have prayed that prayer and given your heart to Christ and you're still trying to get saved, we need to talk after the service, okay? Because it's a done deal. You have received it. You have received the free gift. And so there's a trap that we have a tendency to fall into, and it's just a little mind shift that we need to have, and that is, we constantly feel like we're trying to get healed instead of looking at ourselves as the healed and possessing something that has already been given to us. Are you following me? All right. So there's three things that I want you to know about healing today. And if you're taking notes, write these things down. If you're not taking notes, write these things down. Get out your little message notes and follow along with us. But three truths, three things that I want you to know, and these are basic. And listen, in 30 minutes, I'm not going to be able to exhaust the subject of healing. I spent many weeks on Wednesday night teaching about it. It's all on the website. You can go listen to those past messages. But I'm going to give you some basic things right here that I want you to know about healing. Number one is you need to know sickness does not come from God. Sickness does not come from God. Somebody says, well, where does sickness come from? Well, sickness, if you take it all the way back to the beginning, sickness and disease originated from Satan and the fall of man. It came on the earth when man sinned and fell. And so sickness and disease was introduced into the planet, to the earth at that point. You do understand that in the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect. Adam and Eve experienced no pain, no sickness, no disease. But unfortunately, when man sinned and disobeyed God, he opened the door for the enemy to bring everything into this world that he represents. Poverty, sickness, disease, spiritual death, strife, you know, all of those things came into the earth as a result of man's sin. And so sickness can be traced back originally to the enemy, but of course, it came into the earth as a result of man's sin. Let me give you a couple of scriptures to kind of support this. There's many, but let me just give you a couple just to kind of highlight this. Look at Luke chapter 13 and verse 16. Jesus, let me give you a little background about this verse. Jesus was in the synagogue and there was a lady that came to him. And this lady, and I love this story. She, you know, you can imagine, beautiful woman, long hair. She's, you know, just a beautiful, attractive woman. And something happened at some point in her life, and she began to experience some difficulties in her back. And over a period of time, the scripture tells us that she ended up completely bowed over. And what that means is everywhere she went, she was completely bowed over, where she looked at the ground everywhere she went. Now think about that. I mean, what an awful life to live. You know, you see pictures of things like this in foreign countries like India, and it's quite frequent. You see it, in, you know, maybe occasionally in our country, but this is what was going on with this woman. And so Jesus, on the Sabbath day, heals this woman. And so the religious leaders got all upset. Now here's what, if you want to get Jesus upset, let me tell you how to do it, okay? Be religious and then tell him he messed up when he set somebody free. okay? Because that's exactly what the religious leaders did. They got on him and said, how dare you heal that woman on the Sabbath day? Okay, now keep in mind, where are they? They're in church. Okay? Now, Jesus responds to their complaint and he says this, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, now stop, pause right there, he just played the covenant card. What that means is because she was literally a Jew in the lineage of Abraham, she was under the same covenant that Abraham had. But here's what I want you to see. Whom Satan has bound, and the scripture goes on to say, think of it, for 18 years. Now you want to know what got Jesus so upset? This woman went to church for 18 years, and those religious leaders, the pastors, never bothered to get her healed. But Jesus shows up and they get their underwear all in a wad because he heals on the Sabbath when they could have done it 18 years ago when she first started having problems. But here's the whole point of the scripture. Who did the binding? It says Satan bound this woman. What that tells me is God is not in the business of causing people to live lives bowed over. God is in the business for people to live healed, upright, whole lives. And so Satan is the one that bound her. Now here's another scripture in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This is a message that Peter's preaching. And he's talking about Jesus. And he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now stop right there. Pause. Look up at me for just a minute. Who did the anointing? Not a trick question. Look right. Look, follow the bouncing ball. How God anointed Jesus. Who did the anointing? Okay. So let's go on and read. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, Jesus, in another situation, they accused him of casting devils out of people because he was demon-possessed. And so Jesus said, how can a house divided against itself fall? Here's what I want you to see. If God is the one that makes people sick, but yet God anointed Jesus to heal people, and it says that he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, then God's schizophrenic. God's got two personalities. You know, one day he's good, one day he's bad. One day he wants to heal people, one day he's making sick. It doesn't work like that. God doesn't do that. And so what I want you to see is that Peter says that Jesus was anointed by God to set people free from the oppression of the devil, which was showing up in the form of sickness and disease. So, sickness does not come from God. Number two, healing, and I'm amazed at the sharp minds, theological minds, people much, much smarter than I, that will argue and debate this fact right here. Healing did not pass away with the end of the book of Acts. Just like there are people who will stand up and tell you the Holy Spirit disappeared at the end of Acts. Jesus said he was coming to live with us forever. So, healing did not pass away with in the end of the book of Acts, okay? Now, we just read where God anointed Jesus to heal when he was in the earth. We know that healings took place during the book of Acts. So we know that Jesus is the one that healed people even in the book of Acts, right? Okay? So look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus does not change. Here's what I want you to see. If Jesus was a healer during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the beginning of the book of Acts, then Jesus is still a healer today. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, God just declares to the children of Israel, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Y'all are the one that are changing, he said. I don't change. So if God was a healer, even in the Old Testament, we'll see that, then he's still a healer today. And so God is a healer, and it didn't change just because the book of Acts ended. Here's the third thing I want you to see, and that's this, and please get this. It is God's will for you to be healed. It is God's will for you to be healed. God desires for you and for me to live free from sickness and disease and pain. It is God's will for you to be healed. Now, I gave you a whole bunch of scriptures on this one, so let's run through them. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Just in case somebody wanted to say, well, you know, God didn't heal in the Old Testament. Oh, yes, He did. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, He told the children of Israel, He said, I am the Lord who heals you. He said, if you'll obey me, I'll protect you and keep you free from sickness. Actually, I put the whole scripture up there. Let me read it to you. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the... Oh, see, Pastor? That says God wouldn't put any of the diseases. I know what it says. I didn't skip over it just because. Let me explain. In the Hebrew language, there are multiple types of verbs versus the English language. You need to understand that sometimes in the Old Testament, the Hebrew language was a permissive verb, not a causative verb. But if you translate it into English, it all sounds causative. Okay? Follow along with me. What that really says in the Hebrew is that if you will obey me and keep all my statutes, I'll allow none of the diseases on you, which I allowed upon the Egyptians. Some of you aren't too sure, okay? No, God, where does God get sickness from? He doesn't have any. It's not in heaven. Where does He get it? Well, He gets the devil to do it. He doesn't have to get the devil to do anything. The devil is truly self-employed. You need to understand that, okay? So God doesn't get the devil to do anything, but what God does do is He has an umbrella, if you will, of protection that if you will stay in Him and abide in Him and obey Him, there are things that God will protect you from supernaturally. But if you choose to get out from underneath that umbrella, then God doesn't cause it, but He has to allow it because of decisions that you make. Let me give you an example. You know, God will allow people to go over on the other side of town and build strip clubs and nightclubs and all of that. Now, let me ask you a question. Are strip clubs, nightclubs, and all that type of stuff, is that God's will? Some of you aren't sure. Let me help you. No, it's not God's will. Some of you are like, well. But it's such a blessing to the dancers. No, it's not. Because you're making it rain. No, okay. No, let me help you. That is not the will of God, but He allows it because people allow it. Because He can't just step in and stop it. So what I want you to see is that God says, I will allow none of the diseases on you that I allowed on the Egyptians because I am the Lord who heals you. Let's go to the next one. See, y'all making me have to explain stuff too much and it's taking me too long. No, I'm just kidding. Psalm 103, verses 22 and 3. David wrote this. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. I love this psalm. And all that's within me, bless His holy name. And then he says, and bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits. Let me help you with something. How many of you, and this is kind of a rhetorical question, so don't worry about answering it, but how many of you on your job, if you are full-time and you're qualified for benefits, you have taken the time to find out what your benefits are? I guarantee you have. If you got health insurance, if you got 401k, if you got, you know, retirement, all that kind of stuff, you know about it. But see, here's what I want you to do. There are benefits to you for being in the family of God, and it would behoove each and every one of us to find out what our benefits are as sons and daughters of God. Forgive me a little bit if that preaching anointing that was on Priscilla yesterday got off on me a little bit. I'm telling you, I was charged up yesterday. But anyway, that's beside the point. What I want you to see is you have benefits that belong to you because you're a child of God. You need to know what those benefits are. So David goes on and he begins to list them. Who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. Diseases. Somebody said, well, that's spiritual disease, Pastor. No, it's not. If you look in the original language, it is physical pains and sicknesses. Matthew chapter 4. Let's leave the Old Testament. Let's go to Jesus' ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. By the way, what we're getting ready to read here is repeated all throughout the Gospels. But it says here, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing some kinds of diseases. Huh? Healing a few. It says he healed all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Here's one thing you're never going to find when you read the Gospels. You're never going to find somebody come to Jesus for healing and Jesus says, no, wait. See, I'm in the process of teaching you something and you haven't learned it yet because you're kind of hard-headed. So I want you to keep that illness, that sickness, just a little bit longer so you'll learn what it is I'm trying to tell you. See, that sounds so far-fetched and silly to us, but yet we accuse God of doing the very same thing. Well, you know, God put that on me so I would learn and I could, you know, he put me in the hospital bed so I would get close to him. No, you could get close to him while you at home. You don't have to be at the hospital. But just because you reached over in that nightstand and got the Gideon's Bible out of there and started reading it, by the way, which you could have done at home, you didn't have to be in the hospital. It's just you turned your heart towards God. Well, that's an... Okay. All right. Mark chapter 1. Now, this is one of my favorite stories in all of the Gospels because it makes it crystal clear. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Now, a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him... Now, I want to stop right here. I want to describe to you what this guy is like. He is a leper. He has, at that time, one of the most despicable diseases that you could have. It was highly contagious. And if you were, if you had developed leprosy and you, it was part of your life, they immediately ostracized you, put you in a leper colony, a camp outside of town. You had to live with a whole bunch of other lepers. You could no longer spend time with your family. You could no longer work. Most of the time you had to beg for food. And while in the meantime, while the disease ravaged your body, destroyed your skin, caused your body parts to start falling off, and your life was over. But this guy comes to Jesus and he says something to Jesus. He said, Jesus, first of all, he took a big step by even coming to Jesus. But he said to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, this story right here ought to unravel the mystery for you if it is the will of God to heal or not. If you are willing, not if you can. If you are willing, this guy had no question as far as Jesus' ability, but he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, look at this, stretched out his hand and touched him. Now, this is a whole nother message, but Jesus was not afraid about getting somebody else's stuff on him while he was trying to minister to them. I just thought I would say that because some of us are afraid to touch people in the world because we're afraid some of their stuff will get over on us. You can't be afraid of that. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 41. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. In other words, let me get rid of that question mark for you and let me just straight up tell you, I want you free from leprosy. And it says, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now there's another story. You might have heard about the 10 lepers that came to Jesus and Jesus healed them and there was one that came back and said, Lord, I gotta take a moment and thank you for being so good to me. All of them were healed, but only one came back and said, Jesus, thank you for healing me. Thank you, Lord, that I no longer have to live with this disease. And let me, look at me. Jesus went a step further with this guy because he took a moment and came and praised Jesus for what he did in his life. And Jesus took it a step further, and the Bible says that Jesus declared to the guy, "You are made whole." Let me tell you what that means. If the guy had lost an ear or his nose or something because of that dreaded disease, all of a sudden, because he came and fell at the Master's feet and worshiped, I wish somebody would help me this morning. Because he fell at the Master's feet, all of a sudden, whatever was missing because of that disease supernaturally grew back. Whether that ear was replaced, that nose, whatever it might have been, he was made whole because he worshiped Jesus for healing him. And it says immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So just in case you're not convinced, John chapter 8 and verse 29 said this, "And he," Jesus is talking, "and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone." Look at this. "For I always." Now, I wish I could say this, but I can't. But Jesus could. He said, "I always do those things that please God." In other words, let me say this to you. Jesus never once did not fulfill the will of God for his life, ministry, and for the people. So if healing is not the will of God, then Jesus missed it big time. I don't think he did. Now, I want to break this down. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. We're going back to our prophecy that Isaiah gave us. It says here in verse 45, "Surely he has borne our griefs." If you're taking notes, or if you want to circle that word griefs there, "and carried our sorrows." If you want to circle that word sorrows there. And it says, "Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." So here's why I had you circle those words. In the Hebrew language, the word griefs is the Hebrew word choli, C-H-O-L-I. C-H-O-L-I. For those of you who love to take extra notes, you're loving this right now. Okay? Now here's why I'm telling you this. Everywhere else in the Old Testament, bar none, the translators translated this word correctly, and it means physical sickness and disease. But for some reason, they translated it griefs in this verse. I don't know if they got weak and backed down or what the case was, but for some reason, they did not translate it correctly. So it says that surely he has borne our sicknesses and disease and carried our sorrows. In the Hebrew, sorrows is the Hebrew word makob, M-A-K-O-B, M-A-K-O-B. And it means this, physical pain, physical pain. So surely he has borne our sicknesses and diseases and carried our pains, and I'm going to skip to the bottom, and by his stripes we are healed. Now here's, let me give you the picture so you fully understand this. Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, and I don't understand this, just like I can't understand how he did it with sin, but somehow while he was hanging on the cross, God allowed in his physical body every sickness, every disease known to man at that time and not known to man at that time to come upon him to where he experienced everything. Now, I don't understand that, but the Bible says it happened, just like it happened with our sin. I don't understand how one man can carry lying, adultery, all the, you know, the sin that we know about. He took it. He became that. Well, Isaiah prophesied, and we know that Jesus bore every sickness, every disease in his physical body that is known to humanity. Think about this. One human being with every type of cancer in it going on in his body. One human being with AIDS. One human being with every kind of joint pain and arthritis and rheumatism and every kind of sickness and disease that you can imagine. He was enduring it. See, yes, Jesus was beaten. Yes, he was treated terribly by the Roman soldiers and just mutilated physically, especially with the beatings. But one of the main reasons that God caused it to be dark for 3 hours while Jesus was on the cross is Can you imagine being his mother and looking up at the cross and seeing your firstborn son bearing every kind of sickness and disease and pain and infirmity known to mankind and not known to mankind in his body all at one time? And then on top of that, every sin that humanity has ever experienced in himself all at one time. The Bible says in Isaiah 52 that he no longer looked like a man. The scripture says the image of him, he was so marred that he was beyond recognition. And I believe that's why God caused the darkness to come on the earth, and so that people didn't have to see him experiencing that. The people that loved him. But he paid the price for your salvation. He paid the price for you to be made righteous. But he also paid the price for you and for me to be healed. And to be able to live free from sickness and disease. Now, I want to say this because I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. Am I saying that if you get sick, then there's something wrong with you spiritually? The answer to that is absolutely not. So don't leave out of here thinking that if you get sick, that it means that your relationship with God is not right. It just means that you've got something in your body, and now you have a wonderful opportunity to receive something that Jesus bought and paid for, and you can stand in faith on the Word of God and receive your healing. Just like it means when you sin, it doesn't mean that God stops loving you. It doesn't mean that your salvation is not paid for. It just means you need to stop and take a moment and confess that sin to God, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin and all unrighteousness. It just means you have another opportunity to stand in faith on God's Word and resist temptation. So, then the question arises, well, then how do I receive my healing? If Jesus has already bought and paid for it, then how do I receive it? Well, let me run through these things so that you can know this. And by the way, again, let me say this is not exhaustive by any stretch of the imagination. But I want to cover these points so that you can begin to understand some things. Here's the first thing that I want you to get as far as receiving your healing is concerned. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith for salvation begins when you find out it's God's will for you to be saved. Faith begins for God's blessing and favor on your life when you find out and hear that it is God's will for you to live a blessed life. Faith begins for healing when you find out that it is God's will for you to be healed. See, some of you, your faith has gone to a whole different level just in the last 20 minutes sitting here listening to me talk about healing. Because the question marks are beginning to leave where healing is concerned. See, as long as there is a question mark in your thinking where healing is concerned, is it God's will for me or not? Then your faith is never going to go beyond that question mark. There are some things that you and I must resolve and establish in our heart once and for all. And get it done and settle it. And settle it. So the first thing is faith begins where the will of God is known. Well, how do I get faith, Pastor? Well, the scripture tells us, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Paul said this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Like I said, some of you, your faith has grown just in the last few moments by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, here's something I want you to carefully understand. Faith does not come because you believe me and because I said it. I want you to believe me, and I hope you do, but don't stop there. Go to the Bible and find out what the Bible says for yourself. You should never listen to any preacher and take what they say at face value, because you know why? We're human. You need to go to the Word of God and you need to establish some things for yourself. So don't base your belief just because I said it. Base your faith and your belief because the Word of God says it. Now here's what I want you to understand about this point, and then we'll move on. Is when you believe the Word for yourself, there is power in that word to cause itself to come to pass in your life. So when you stop and you receive the Word of God, no matter what it says, if it's for salvation, healing, whatever, and you say, you know what, God, I believe your Word is true, and I make up my mind right now. That settles it for me. I believe it right now. I establish my heart on what your Word says. The power of God that's contained in that Word instantly is released into your life to cause that Word to come to pass. I wish I had more time to get into that, but I want you to understand that. Here's the second thing. How do you receive healing? Okay, the best, I don't like to say it that way. One of the greater ways for you to receive healing in your physical body is for you to simply believe the Word for yourself. You can receive your healing simply by believing God's Word. By simply believing God's Word. Psalm 107 verse 20 said this, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Scripture says, Matthew chapter 8 verses 5 through 10, there was a centurion that came to Jesus and came to Him pleading with Him, verse 6, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I'll come and I'll heal him. And I love what the centurion said. He said, hey, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. He said, speak the word. Speak only a word and my servant will be healed. Jesus was blown away by that statement. It says, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. I don't know about you, but I would love to do and say something to get Jesus to marvel. Okay? And it said to those who followed him, he turned, so here's the centurion, he's having this conversation, but he turns around to his disciples and he says this, hey, guess what, guys? Among you and all them, I have never seen such great faith. So what that tells me is great faith is when you can take God's word simply for yourself and believe it for yourself and receive it and have it appropriated in your life. Simply because God's word. But listen, that doesn't mean that anything else that you do to receive healing is less than. See, the next thing you can do to receive your healing is you can ask someone to lay hands on you in prayer. You can ask someone to lay hands on you in prayer. That is a biblical principle. Now, I do not suggest you do this to someone without them first asking. Because thou might get slapped. Okay? But you can ask someone, you know, if sickness is bothering you, you can ask another believer, say, hey, will you please pray for me? Now, let me give you some scripture. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. Any believers in here? Okay? It says, this will follow you. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. That doesn't mean on purpose. Just thought I'd say that. All right. And if they drink any deadly thing, and by no means hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall recover. I got to say this. See, some of us have done that. We've prayed for someone, and because a miracle didn't happen, we lost confidence and thought that, well, it didn't work. No, that's not what Jesus said. You need to understand there is a wonderful act of God called recovery. It happened even in Jesus' ministry. There was a person that he ministered healing to, and the Bible says they began to be healed from that self-same hour. See, there are going to be times where it's not instantaneous. There are going to be times when it takes some time for healing to work in my body. Somebody says, well, then what do I do? Well, you just walk around and you say, Lord, thank you. The healing power of God is at work within my body to effect a healing and to bring about a cure. Thank you, Lord. My healing came at whatever time we prayed. But Lord, thank you. It's mine and I'm walking it out. And by the way, let me say this. We are not against medical doctors. If you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. If you need some medicine, take you some medicine. I just thought I'd say that because I don't want anybody leaving out of here saying, Pastor said, I didn't have to go. No, you need to go to the ER, go to the ER. If you need to go to urgent care, go to urgent care. But don't put your faith in them. Just say, God, thank you for using them to facilitate healing in my body. Amen? James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick, James said? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. By the way, let me say this. Don't go to somebody who ain't going to pray faith over you. Don't go to somebody and they pray stuff like, Lord, I don't know what you're trying to teach them, but if by chance it's your will for them to be healed, Father, let it be so. But if not, help them, Jesus, to endure. What you need to do, if that gets prayed over you, just say, thank you. God bless you. I appreciate you doing that. I'm out. See ya. Okay? We gone. All right? It says the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. So you can receive healing by someone praying for you. You can receive healing by praying for yourself. All right? By the way, if you need healing in here today, there's going to be some folk available to pray for you. And I guarantee you, if you'll believe, they'll believe and healing can come. All right? Here's the last one. You can also be healed while receiving communion. By receiving communion. When you receive communion, the bread and the grape juice, that you can receive healing. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul said this. He said, I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take and eat, partake. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. See, there's two things that you do when you receive communion. You remember, it's a memorial, that Jesus shed his blood for you. That's what the juice represents. But that he also allowed his body to be broken for you so your body could be made whole. See, there's nothing magical about communion. I know there's some that believe that when you receive the grape juice, somehow magically it turns into the blood of Jesus and all of that. That's not true. Okay, it's just juice, all right? It's, some of y'all laughing. No, it's really true. There's a whole denomination, big denomination that believes that when you receive the bread, it becomes the body of the Lord, and you receive the juice, it becomes the blood of the Lord. That's kind of gross, but that's what they believe. It's not true, all right? It's just bread, and it's just juice. Here's the thing. Here's where the power is released in it. When you remember what Jesus did for you. So I want you to understand, he was bruised for your iniquities. He bore your sicknesses and your diseases, and he carried your pains so that you can be healed. Say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my sickness, taking my disease, taking my pains and bearing them for me. I believe that by his stripes I am healed. And if I am healed, then I shall be healed. If I were healed, then I am healed. I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. The healing power of God is at work in my body. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. In your name, amen. 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 Did you get anything out of this? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together today, Lord. Thank you for the word. We receive your word today, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you did pay that price for us. And Father, I thank you that by his stripes we are healed. Lord, I pray for anybody that's under the sound of my voice that might be dealing with sickness and disease and pain in their body. Father, we just release right now the healing anointing to flow into their body. Thank you, Father. Sickness and disease and pain is being driven out. I thank you, Father. Cancer is driven out in Jesus' name. I thank you that arthritis is driven out in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that every type of sickness and disease, Jesus took that for us, and by his stripes we are healed. Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Now, just in case there might be somebody here under the sound of my voice that you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You've never surrendered your life to him. I want to give you that opportunity today. I want you to know Jesus loves you. He paid a great price for you. God sent him to the cross to pay the debt that you owed. Okay, he never owed it, but we owed it, and he paid it for us. If you're here today, and maybe you've given your heart to Christ at some point, but you're not serving Jesus like you know you need to, I want to give you an opportunity to turn your heart back towards him and to come back home. I want to give you an opportunity to return to the Savior who still loves you and is waiting for you with open arms. He's so madly in love with each and every one of us. I would love the privilege of being able to pray with you today. If you need to give your heart to Christ for the first time or you need to recommit your life to the Lord, I'd love to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you or make you stand up or come down front, but I need you to take a simple step of faith. And by just simply raising your hand, you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to get my heart right with God. I want to become everything that God wants me to be. I want to be his child, and I want my past, my sin to be forgiven, and I want to come back home. If that's you, just put your hands up. I'd love the privilege of praying with you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Church, if you believe in what we're doing, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead. And I make you the Lord of my life. Cleanse me of my sin. Wash me in your blood. Make me clean and holy. Forgive me of my past and give me a brand new start. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I make Jesus my Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, can we take a moment and celebrate? Yeah, come on, let's make some noise. Yes, yes. If you prayed that prayer with me, God bless you. Thank you so much. Do me a favor on the worship guide that you received when you came in. If you wouldn't mind, just take a moment, fill out that connection card at the bottom of it. Let us know you prayed that prayer. If you need prayer after the service is over, right here to my left, towards the back corner back there, will be some prayer partners with green lanyards on, green badges on, that would love the privilege of being able to pray with you. And there's no sense in you going home today feeling heavy-hearted, burdened because of things going on in your life. God wants to move in your life in a great way. And so let one of those prayer partners agree with you. If you need healing in your body, they'll pray with you, lay hands on you if you'll let them and pray the prayer of faith over you. And you can leave here healed in Jesus' name. But we love you so much. I appreciate you being here today. I tell you what, before we leave, I want to do something real quick. Stand with me and we'll get ready to go. I meant to do this before we received the offering and it slipped my mind, but I also want to give a shout out. How many of our students enjoyed your time at Carowinds yesterday? Okay. We had 17 students who got season passes to Carowinds yesterday. Now, because of you and your generosity, wait a minute. Can we put that up? Put it up on the screen. We got some problems? Okay. Because I wanted y'all to see the kids cheesing while they were at Carowinds, all right? Anyway, but thank you for your generosity in doing that. And by the way, we didn't get them just barely season passes. They got the gold season passes. Even though ain't none of them could drive, they don't have to pay for parking. But anyway, but we love them. I'm so glad they had a great time all day yesterday. And so I'm so glad that we were able to do that. And, you know, they're going to have a great summer. So let me just declare a blessing over you before you go. Father, thank you once again for all of these wonderful people. Father, thank you for ministering to them. Thank you for blessing them. Father, I just declare that in Jesus' name, that they are strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. I declare, Father, that they are well able to become everything that you want them to be, that they're filled with wisdom, strength, ability, creativity, Father. Everything that you've invested in them, Father, I thank you that they are strong in you. And Lord, I just declare in Jesus' name, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare.